are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So I got an email this week. It made me very happy from someone in this congregation. And part of that email went like this. It said, "I am so enjoying the 7-week challenge of getting back on track, although most of them for me have been through YouTube. I'm 5 for 5 with worship attendance so far. I've created a chart to keep track of my attempts for 5 daily prayers, and my country of interest is Guatemala." As you may know, if you've been in church the last several weeks, we are in the midst of this series in getting back on track using this delightful book called The Walk by Adam Hamilton. The Walk has 5 essential practices of a Christian life. We actually have more copies outside of the Welcome Center in the church office. If you haven't gotten one yet, we have extras. We'd be happy to get one to you. And the hope is that we would learn about these practices and they would help us to get back on track spiritually, emotionally, personally, as a congregation. Last week with World Communion Sunday, we actually added one to the, it's not in the book, but it was World Communion Sunday, so we thought loving your global neighbor would be one, and I encouraged everyone to pick a country and pray for that country this week. Now, more important than reading the book is implementing the practices and growing in the Christian life. It's not just about reading and getting something in our head, it's about living them out. That's what we talk about around here, learning and living. So I'm glad to hear from many of you about how you're doing that, how you're implementing these practices, putting them into play. Adam Hamilton offers several suggestions in the book. We've offered suggestions from the pulpit as well. Joining us for worship all 7 weeks, whether in person or on YouTube. Praying 5 times a day when you get up in the morning, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before you go to bed at night. Reading or studying the Bible 5 minutes a day. Doing 5 deeds of kindness per week. Learning 5 things about another country, those sorts of things. So today, the practice is giving. We've already introduced the practice with that wonderful song, "God Whose Giving Knows No Ending," recognizing that the giving begins with God, and we're called, we're invited to a life of thanksgiving and giving to others. Our scripture reading for today is just one verse that reminds us of the importance of giving, the call to giving, and the blessing of giving. Listen for God's word. This is the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, and he writes, "In all this, I've given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Now, we Presbyterians like the Bible, and that was just one verse, so I can't just have one Bible verse in the sermon. I've got another one that I want to share with you today. One of my favorites is from Galatians, and it's a wonderful verse that describes what maybe a life that's gotten back on track looks like. And it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." It's a delightful verse, delightful reflection, delightful invitation to think about what our lives look like when we're deeply rooted and grounded in God's love. The challenge with this for me is that that's the Revised Standard Version from, let's just say, 1946 up there. That was an early translation of the scripture, mid-20th century, and that's how I learned it. And it was a great way to learn it, because one helpful hint for learning that is the syllables, the first 3, love, joy, peace. All 1 syllable. The next 3, patience, kindness, goodness, all 2 syllables. And the last 3, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It just kind of rolls off the tongue nice and easy. Well, I'm a big fan of biblical scholarship, and late 20th century, some new translations of the scriptures came out, and the biblical scholars realized that the word that had been translated as goodness, agathousine, really could be translated as generosity. So the more generic sense of goodness has now become generosity. So the fruits of the Spirit now reads in most translations, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It totally ruins the 1, 2, 3 syllable thing, but I'm okay with that because generosity is a really, really good word. It's a good word for us. And the fourth of the 5 practices in our book is giving, and really that could be interchangeable with the word generosity. God is generous with us, giving us the gift of life, a beautiful world to live in, and blessings every day. We're called to be generous with others. Adam Hamilton, I think, does a great job of talking about giving and generosity in his book. If you haven't read any of the book yet, I think you can jump right into that chapter. It'll take you about 20 minutes to read. It's one of the things people like about this book. It's short and sweet and clear. And in the book, he cites how Jesus had more to say about money and possessions than any other topic, even prayer, even things like that. Jesus had a lot to say about these things. He said things like, do not store up for yourself treasures in heaven, but instead store up treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He also said, you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and money. How hard it will be, Jesus said, for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And then what I think the thrust of his message is, it's not scolding, it's cautionary. At one point in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So kind of summarizing all this, Adam Hamilton writes, Jesus made it clear that our relationship with money can either sabotage our spiritual life or can deepen it. Sabotage or support. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. Jesus shared these hard teachings about money and possessions and wealth, but Jesus was right. A healthy relationship to our money and to our wealth is vital to our spirituality, to our calling as Christians. Now, when we welcome new members into the life and ministry of the church today, we will ask them a question, just like we do at baptism, just like we do with confirmation. And the question essentially asks, do you turn from the ways of sin and evil and turn to Jesus Christ? Implicit in that is that there's a choice that we make really every day, turning from sin and evil and selfishness and foolishness and turning to the life that God offers us. We make those choices every day in terms of our time, our talents, and our treasures. We could use our money, our wealth, our stuff, our lives for foolish things or wonderful things, sabotage or support. In the book, Adam Hamilton goes on to talk about tax returns. This is fascinating. I don't know who's read this yet, but and he talks about what he calls a tax return selfie. The idea that you can look at your tax returns and get a sense of how we spend our money, and it can tell a lot about the spiritual life of an individual. Now, statistics tell us that the wealthier people are, the smaller the percentage of charitable giving that they do. Some poor people are incredibly generous in terms of percentages. So have you ever thought about your giving, your charitable giving, in terms of percentages? Some churches emphasize the idea of tithing. It's a biblical principle that's kind of debated in some ways about giving 10% of what you have to serve God's purposes at the church or elsewhere, wherever that might be. There are actually some churches that ask prospective members to see their tax forms before they join the church to make sure they're being generous members. Now, take a deep breath. We're nowhere close to that here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. Nowhere close at all. But I do want to encourage you on your own to think about your giving in terms of percentages. To think about your giving to the church and your giving well beyond the church. I've read that on average, Christians give something like 2%, maybe up to 3% to the church and to other causes in the world. but it might be fruitful for us to ponder that and take a look at our dollar bills and our checkbook and our Venmo accounts and think about, how am I using this money to take care of my family, to take care of my needs, to have a good life, and also to be a blessing to other people? It might be a nice exercise to do. We've probably all had that experience that Katie talked about in the children's message about giving time, money, whatever, and having that sense of satisfaction. Adam Hamilton makes it really clear in the book that it really is more blessed to give than to receive, and the joy that we can get in giving. I think that's what Jesus was getting at with his teaching. But it's an uphill battle to become generous people, to welcome that fruit of the Spirit. We're inundated with messages about getting more for ourselves, about taking care of number one and only number one. Adam Hamilton has another quote in his book. He says, "We live in a society where every voice around us is telling us just the opposite of Jesus' teaching, that our lives, in fact, do revolve around an abundance of stuff we own." So with all the noise around us, with all the distractions, with all the things that could sabotage our good intentions, this is why we're focusing on these five practices. It's about getting ourselves back on track in a holistic way and living a life of authenticity and integrity and wholeness and generosity and joy and peace. And so we look at all these five practices. If we're surrounded by noise that prevents us from hearing the good news of the gospel and the call to live as good and generous people, then we need to worship and pray and do all these things. We make worship of God a priority with less focus on our stuff. We pray for people around us in the world, along with our own needs, praying for their needs and our needs. We study God's word, which repeatedly teaches us to be kind and generous and to love our neighbors. We listen for God to speak to us above the noise. We look for ways to give and share and be kind. The goal of all these practices is to become more loving, more kind, more generous, more alive, to get back on track. So Adam Hamilton encouraged us in the chapter to do five intentional generous acts per month. Not to get legalistic about it, but that's the invitation, something to ponder. Some of you might be list makers. Maybe you want to set out a little chart and think about doing five intentional generous acts per month. It could be very simple. Could be very profound. Whatever. I'm glad to be at a church that's filled with generous people. This very month here at church, we're collecting books for prisoners. We're sharing food with hungry people. We're writing notes, pen pals to kids at Glenn Stevens Elementary. We're making plans for an auction to support education in Guatemala. On an ongoing basis, we're sharing tens of thousands of dollars with mission partners, local and global. I thought about listing them all out for you today, but didn't do that. But we're making our building available safely and smartly to people in our community and neighborhood groups. And we're being generous with our time. People in this church take the time to write notes to one another, to care for one another, to call one another, to email one another. So I'm glad to be at a generous church. As you may know, it's October, and that means it's Stewardship Month here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. This very week, packets went in the mail. I don't know if anybody received them yet, but they went out. Packets were mailed asking people to make pledges to support the mission and ministry of this church for the year 2022. We're also asking people to fill out a serving survey to see what skills, gifts, and interests we have collectively so we can be a stronger and healthier church together. So I want to invite you, in the spirit of thinking about generosity, to take that packet, that information. You can find information online as well. We've got information at the Welcome Center if you need it, to prayerfully think about how you can be generous with Covenant Presbyterian Church in the year 2022. 2 weeks from today, October 24th, is when we're asking people to return those pledge cards by. That's what we're calling Generosity Sunday, but really any Sunday, any day is a good day for us to be generous. Being generous with a church like Covenant Presbyterian Church is a great thing to do, and I heartily encourage it, but we can be generous well beyond the church. We can be generous anytime, anywhere in our daily living. And I want to close with a story about someone who has learned the joy of generosity. A woman named Carolyn Collins is a janitor in a school near Atlanta. One morning several years ago, she was taking out the trash. She heard some knocking at the door. And it turns out early in the morning, there were a couple of kids huddled by the door, and they wanted to get in. They were homeless, and they wanted to get in school so they could get ready for school. So she brought them in. She found some cereal for them to eat. And that day, the giving closet was born. Carolyn proceeded to collect things like food, clothes, shoes, toothpaste, shampoo, deodorant, to provide for hundreds of students at this school. Along with donations that she got from other people, she has continued to spend some of her own money every month. And remember, she's a janitor, she's not a CEO, to support kids in need. She's even helped kids get clothes for the prom. She spent hundreds of dollars of her own money, but she doesn't seem to mind. The article quoted her, "When I tell them I love you, and I see the smiles on their faces, that's pure joy. Everybody needs somebody. Seeing that they know they are loved, that's my reward." Friends, Jesus is right. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray. Loving God, your giving knows no ending. We thank you for the gift of this beautiful day. We thank you for the gift of life itself. Help us to make good use of the gifts you've entrusted to our care. Help us to find ways to love our neighbors with our time, our talent, our treasures. Help us to be generous and kind this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.